Of course I have notes, okay? What self-respecting non-journalist doesn't have notes? Or am I just in the wrong career field?
I don't know.
I mean, by the look of it, I did more work than you three did.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, I'm on here. I've done my part. I'm currently doing work, writing a review, and podcasting with y'all, so get on my fucking level.
Yeah. We can't all be three-peats, but, you know, you mentioned, Ryan, that we're enveloping, like, a certain theme going into this season, and I really didn't know what you meant by that other than, oh, okay, politics and movies. Cool. Which I guess promptly segues into our topics of discussion for today, because what's this movie coming out that looks really bad?
Oh God, the coldest open ever. Civil War.
Oh, lovely.
Didn't Captain America and Bucky just beat the shit out of Iron Man?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of American moviegoers are going to be like, Civil War? I thought that movie came out in 2016.
That was the real Civil War.
Well, I will say that, well, it's not me saying it. It's a comment that I found on YouTube saying this. This had the best 8-year marketing plan it's ever had, apparently. I'm assuming we've all seen the trailer.
Yep.
No doubt about that. Ron Swanson being at the forefront of it. I love Parks and Rec. I loved, what was it, episode 3 or 4 of The Last of Us. Great. If you don't like the opinion, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I've said it before. There's only so much you can extrapolate from a trailer, and there's only so much, I guess, preemptive media journalism you can do to dissect what the movie could be about. And the notes that I've taken are pretty much that. I've covered a few talking points that I found interesting, and other than that, I guess time will tell. The big thing is actually like 5 seconds into the trailer itself, where we see that opening scene of that woman in the clothing store. And the main characters are in there, and she's just like, one of the main characters, I don't recall the actor's name. I'm not bothering or caring to look him up, saying something along the lines of, well, you know, there's a civil war out there, right? And the woman just goes, yeah, we don't really involve ourselves in that. So she's automatically my favorite character.
GTA server energy.
GTA server energy. You got a couple of factions a la Fallout New Vegas. You have the Western forces of Texas and California, which to the droves and droves of comments asking, or rather declaring, how they would find it so hilarious that Texas and California would join forces. Need I remind you that, need I remind you of the Californians going over there in droves in search of affordable housing? So if you're wondering why the Californians are there to begin with, look no further, among other reasons. So they're teaming up the Florida Alliance. I don't know what it is. It sounds based, though.
It's alligators in Florida, man.
I imagine it's just a lot of boomers, you know, charging at you a la Left 4 Dead style. And the U.S. military. Now, in the trailer, Nick Offerman, who's the president, says something along the lines of the Western forces is dealing with the U.S. military. I guess it's the army or something like that. And it made me wonder, is the army the enemy? Or are these like state faction secession divisions the enemy, right? I mean, either way, you fulfilled the definition of a civil war. So cool. I don't know if we're going to, you know, break off into discussion right there, because I don't know how much we want to nitpick. Well, 2 minutes.
I mean, I'm interested because the director came out with comments who said that, you know, they don't dive into the politics in the movie. And he's like, well, we don't want to tell the audience too much. You just kind of have to figure it yourself. And it's like, yeah, you don't want to spoon feed the audience. I mean, I don't get why everyone's so surprised that it's Texas and California, the two states that could be their own countries by themselves. Like, these are the most powerful states in the union. So I don't see the. I just feel like, is America that dumb that we have to just be like, but they're conservative and we're liberal? Like, is it really that simple? Like, that's kind of what the director gets at, that, nowadays the political rhetoric is good and bad, where,
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that they're going for the show don't tell, where you don't necessarily need to identify whose side is being represented on the political spectrum to identify the good and bad guys, quote unquote. I will say the funniest line out of that entire trailer is, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens? And while that statement isn't funny in and of itself, I can just imagine the Ron Swanson, Nick Offerman character looking into the camera and saying, no. And, laugh track that follows. If there was there a laugh track in the show? No.
I don't think
I
so.
don't think so. No.
Not that I'd know, but
That would have thrown off the vibe.
I hate laugh tracks
So,
so much. If you have to tell me something's funny, it's not funny.
yeah, there. I've been told time and time again, hey, watch Big Bang Theory. Now watch Big
No.
Bang Theory
No.
without the laugh track. And it's like, well,
No.
anyway, from what I can gather, and this may differ because, again, I'm a one-track mind sometimes. The goal of the film is that these Western forces are heading to DC.
When you say Western forces, I think of cowboys.
Although Texas, it's half right. And the main characters, in this case, the journalists, need to travel down there. The question is why? I don't think it was really promptly answered, other than they need to get from one side of the country to the other. And the big problem is that journalists are vilified, i.e., they are shot on sight.
Is that your note, or is that
Well,
where is that from?
so it was in the trailer when it was said something to the degree of like, journalists can't go there. They'll get like immediately gunned down. Or,
Okay.
and again, I'm assuming that this is the conflict of the movie, because everyone, at least represented in the trailer, is holding some kind of camera, some kind of press badge, some kind of notebook. I'm like, I guess I'm wondering, is this movie going to be about people getting a scoop at the risk of their lives, or is it a, what's the goal? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where what makes this movie interesting, besides obviously the timing of its release, and to go back to what you had said earlier about theming for this season, I guess if anything, it's that so far the first three episodes have had a bit of theming, and this film being referenced last week. And especially knowing that the film still has yet to be released, and we could definitely review it. Could be a shorter theme for this season, for sure. But it could also be something mocked for the rest of the year, depending on how the movie turns out, and also just depending on how the rest of the year turns out. I guess if anything, what's interesting, at least from what I understand of this movie, it's. I mean, it really is sort of the apolitical side to it, and also just the fact that, like, as you see in the teaser trailer, which I'm a little bit more familiar with the teaser trailer. I have seen the theatrical one, but the teaser trailer, I think, was a lot more eye-catching in terms of, Jesse, and maybe Jesse Plemons does it in both trailers, where, one of the journalists or one of the journalists' compatriots is like, oh, we're Americans, and he's got his literal rose-tinted glasses and his fatigues, as Andrew gives
Aw,
him a
you,
thumbs up, and his
man,
fatigues and an
you
assault
beat
rifle, and he's like,
it.
which America? And
No, it's what kind of American are you by Elton John Commando. Come on, get it right.
all right. And it's like, okay, boink, like that's very much something that you could imagine coming out of today's discourse. And then also the fact that, you know, for a civil war that's apparently very hinged off of two states along the border of Mexico, there's like no Latinos in the whole in either trailer. Just an observation, both of my own, and also there was a
They
Times
killed all
journalist
the
that
Latinos. That was the first step.
Don't give them ideas.
But
Yeah, really.
I guess if anything else, the thing that is most eye-catching as well that I don't think the movie necessarily needs to get into, is just it doesn't need to go through the politics of why this is happening. You know, I know there was a novel a couple years ago, it honestly might have been within the first couple years of Trump's presidency, his first term. I think called, what was it, American Civil War? American War by Omar El Akkad. And he's got a lot of great sort of world building. I haven't read it. I've always toyed with reading it, but he's got a lot of interesting world building that just doesn't feel like it's based in reality in any way, shape, or
Based.
form. What?
I just said based.
And you know, like
I mean,
initially,
it's got 4.3 out of 5 stars, with the first question
that's
asking, "Is this America's future?" So I can, spot the paranoia.
well, I know he's done interviews where he said, you know, oh, I looked at how the Arab Spring turned out and thought, well, how countries that had their revolutions in 2010, 2011, etc., in the Middle East, and seeing where they turned out with their civil wars, and then thinking, I'm going to apply that back to America. It was a unique take on it, but it was also missing a lot of the typical cultural stuff that, at least if you look at our country's history, it goes without saying, the culture is kind of an important thing. Not just in politics, but even the culture during our own Civil War was pretty important. So to have both a book and a movie within the span of 8 years of each other, have a hyper-real Civil War, modern-day American Second Civil War that are kind of culturally ignorant, it's a little weird and a little tone-deaf, I guess, but also at the end of the day, you're trying to make a movie. And, you know, yeah, a lot of movies these days are, you know, very much political in a very safe way. Joker being the exception, of course. But I will say the director, Alex Garland, made a great point on in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter talking about this movie. And I'll move on to you guys. Talking a little bit about the. What was it? Garland rather passionately pointed out that Civil War is trying to create a conversation about political divisiveness in general that vilifies the other side, ratcheting up rhetoric into an ethical debate, which makes it easier to see others as evil. And once somebody is considered morally wrong, their opponents can justify all sorts of extreme measures to stop them.
That's exactly what this trailer does, though.
But
That's
isn't
exactly what
like.
this movie does.
Isn't there also just an objective evil on one side, considering, oh, look, the KKK endorsed a certain orange man who didn't say anything against it, and you find that a lot of those similar people, aka the neo-Nazis and all that folk, are on one side. There is an objective wrong and an objective evil going on here. You can't dance your way around that, like it seems this movie is trying to do. There is no, as often as there are gray areas in life, there is a point where, no, there's an objective wrong here, and trying to make artsy discourse about how there's good people on both sides. We can't just be so divisive. No, there is a time to take a side. There is a right side and a wrong side. Two things. You can't oversimplify that to the point where, oh, if you got to know their perspective, you would be you would you'd have a beer with them. Like I get it. There are people who have realized the error of their ways, like people who have left the KKK or have disavowed their previous neo-Nazi beliefs and have come to a point of trying to educate other people and getting out of that. Yes, that happens, but that's not the norm. It's only known because that's a notable thing that very rarely happens. It's newsworthy because it's not the norm. Like if everyone was like leaving the KKK on the regular, it'd just be old hat.
Right.
So, I don't know. This movie just seems like bait to me,
Yeah.
considering what happened on January 6th. It seems like low effort. Like despite the amount of money they've dumped into this thing, I think this is like the most expensive A24 movie ever produced. But despite like they're probably just paying the extras, paying for special effects. But aside from that, like thematically and story-wise, it just seems so very like you're picking the lowest possible fruit that you can and trying to make something out of it. I have no interest in seeing this movie personally. I probably will just for the review of it so I can do a review on it and stay culturally informed. I don't want to because again, it just seems like I'm feeding that machine of trying to appease as many people as you can for the sake of money.
So
I get what it's trying to say in that like we need to remain united as a country, but at some point you have to point to people and say, you're fucking evil and you don't deserve to be here.
well, can I read the quote as well very quickly? Just because it also leads to a point that deserves a bit of a hand gesture, while it also gives a different hand gesture. Why are we talking and not listening? We've lost trust in the media and politicians. And some in the media are wonderful, and some politicians are wonderful. And this goes to Matt's point, by the way. On both sides of the divide. I have a political position, and I have good friends on the other side of that political divide. Honestly, I'm not trying to be cute. What's so hard about that? Why are we shutting conversation down? Left and right are our ideological arguments about how to run a state. That's all they are. They are not a right or wrong or good and bad. It's which do you think has greater efficacy? That's it. You try one, and if that doesn't work out, you vote it out and you try again a different way. That's a process. But we've made it into good and bad. We made it into a moral issue, and it's fucking idiotic, and it's incredibly dangerous. This is the part that deserves at least one hand gesture. I personally blame some of this on social media. There is an interaction that exists human to human that floats away when it reaches a public forum. To which, what I want to say is, social media has just made so many of our divides just that much more worse. But he basically affirms Matt's point, I think. You know, and when I say he affirms it, I literally mean like Matt's right, and what this guy's hope, what Alex Garland is hoping for, is like fairy tale land. That
Plus,
being
you have to
said,
look at that Trump just said. I don't know when he said it, but I just saw a clip that he's said if he doesn't get voted in, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, he was talking about the auto industry. The networks have
But
been butchering that, and
still, it's the language he's using. Again,
right.
he also claims he didn't incite January 6th, and look what the fuck happened. So
Yeah.
you can say all you want. Oh, he's using a metaphor for the auto industry. Hit words fucking matter. Like your syntax, your words, they matter. And when we have a bumbling fuckwad like Donald Trump saying whatever the shit he wants without any consequence, and there's asshole idiots out there who will take him at his word and use violence because they're armed to the teeth for no good reason except that they want to kill somebody. Yo, a
Yeah.
movie like I honestly think a movie like this will give them fucking ideas. I don't know. I'm not one to police what art comes out. I just think this is a stupid fucking idea that's, again, just playing on the lowest basis fears of our political climate right now. It's
Well,
more, I think it's creatively and morally bankrupt, personally. But
well,
you have the right to make it. But I just.
you may not police art. I certainly will when I ask the question,
Do it. Please police it for me.
how does this get 7.6 stars out of 10 on IMDb? And again,
Not even out yet.
it's not even out yet, number one. And I'm getting a much better synopsis. I'm now knowing who I'm referring to. Turns out I think that actor's name is Wagner Moura, who asks that question in the beginning.
Yeah.
Joel. And the featured review, it's the film does not have easy answers, but rather than making it seem shallow, its lack of a clear moral coding instead offers us something more primal and more powerful. I understand that you're This is my commentary on that first sentence. I understand that you're trying to give us the impression that less is more and that we need to think for ourselves. I want you to also try to imagine the average moviegoer. And it's not to say that as a generalization, it's to say that, to Matt's point, these groups of people that are on the quote unquote wrong side of history also have two arms, two legs, and wallets that they can also purchase tickets with. So, eh, it's not to say that the guy sitting next to you in the theater isn't your friend, but they may have different ideals. It's a film about the open-ended question of how much humanity we as a species have left in us, and that makes it provocative, thrilling monster of a movie that will sear itself in your eyeballs. Yeah, I also know a scholar somewhat that said something along the lines of put people in a room and cause a riot and see what happens. I don't know if that's really the way journalism should be made. If you're trying to incite a conversation doing so that way, good on you, I guess, but good on you, I guess. Civil War is a furiously convincing and disturbing thing when you're watching it. It's a great movie that has its own life force. It's not like anything Garland has made. It's not like anything anyone has made,
Life Force, a good movie.
even though it contains echoes of dozens of other films and novels that appear to have fed the filmmaker's imagination. Civil War delivers a challenging, thrilling, heart-pounding movie about the importance of journalism. Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
You can do an
considering.
importance of journalism movie without trying to like
Well, I mean,
hype up the fucking January 6th sentiment.
considering the journalists are the quote unquote enemies, at least from what I can gather from the audio that was in the trailer. Again, I'm sort of still of the opinion that you being erased from this planet as a journalism means that you uncovered something that you shouldn't have. What did the guy say before getting ixnayed off the Earth? If Boeing found out it wasn't a suicide, what was that? I rest my case.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say that that was it was very Michael Hastings, which he was the journalist that covered Stanley General Stanley McChrystal and then died in a fiery crash. I think somewhere maybe near California, it might have been Florida, in like 2013, and he was
Yeah,
pretty prolific, but there were a lot of conspiracy theories about his death that I personally don't buy into, but it certainly they those theories still exist.
I think what I'm getting from this statement is that an official prediction of mine, and I don't think I'm going to see the movie either, but an official prediction of mine is that by the time the movie ends, all of the main characters will be dead. And I say that because you can't bank on human sentiment changing itself for the greater good if it effectively doesn't want to. If the laws of nature is not going to allow it to happen and people are just going to be shitheads, if people are going to just be uber militant and they're not, at least from what's depicted in this trailer, I don't reckon any of these opposing forces are just going to lay down their weapons and, have appreciation suddenly for their fellow man.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. Heart-pounding movie about the importance of journalism in times of conflict, about how easily we become so desensitized to violence when we're living through it. Oh God, did Roger Ebert write that? God, I'm getting chills. So profound. This review was flagged as helpful. So good job, KM Kevin. Dash 64733. Personally, I don't know. Please answer this question. I'm talking with three journalists right now. Someone has to answer this.
I'm
How
more
do
like a
you,
half journalist right now.
two and a half, great. How do you review a movie? Not even before the movies come out. That's just a standalone question of were you there at the time kind of thing? And obviously you can't be because there's no media to review yet, only a 2 minute trailer.
Mean,
How do
unless they
you
got a
re
screener somehow.
Yeah, it's probably like film
Oh,
critics that
okay.
got a screener or there was something like
Yeah.
that's a very real thing.
All right, well, I'm gonna go to this reviewer's profile. Madam Web, not a bad Marvel film. This could use some makeup homework assignments. Okay, anyway.
Are we talking about the same Madame Web film that is reportedly worse than Morbius?
Apparently, yeah. But I guess the
Oh
question is,
God, this is why people shouldn't be allowed to vote.
how do you review a movie based off of just trailer sentiment alone? Like, I understand the whole notion of not judging a book by its cover is important and needs to be discussed. And the whole, like, assembling of the facts, that's literally what you're doing, though, is
No,
judging a
but
book by its
it's
cover.
like what Matt just said. These are people that probably got a screener or went to the studio, and I mean, there's already reviews for it on Variety, Hollywood Reporter,
So we
of all
know.
places, The Atlantic, like.
Okay, so back up. We know then, or some people know how this movie is start to finish, right?
Correct. Yes. And they're probably on some bit of embargo where they can give a surface level review, and then the movie, and then whenever the embargo lifts, they can give their spoiler. I don't know. I haven't looked at any of these reviews, and an Atlantic article is like, you might as well be reading Lonesome Dove, which is 1,000 pages. So no, I'm not gonna go and read the Atlantic article to tell you,
Fucking
hey,
embargo,
Sebastian,
man. Just
they got the full movie here, you know.
fucking embargo. Just tell me if the movie's good or not. Tell me if it's worthwhile. This could be the defining movie of our generation. Who knows?
Okay,
They
so
know.
calm yourself.
Okay. No, but okay.
Variety's got Civil War review. Alex Garland tears America apart, Lisa. Counting on divided audiences.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I have a really mouth breather view of this, and like the trailers to me, I feel like this movie's not going to be as effective because the action looks as
It's
believable
very
as
Michael
Battlefield
Bay.
Los
Yeah.
Angeles. No,
Yeah.
like
Oh, God.
I don't think it looks good. I
I don't think
think
it
it
looks good
looks low
either. Did you
budget,
just
low
invoke
brow.
Battlefield Los
That's what
Angeles?
it gives me. It doesn't obviously doesn't look the same, but like a team of SWAT military guys, like some California dudes with military gear, are gonna walk right up into the White House. Like the whole military gets wiped out, and dudes walk into the White House with guns. Like, yeah, they broke into the Capitol, but like, it just looks so unbelievable, even for a civil war. Like, it just doesn't connect for me. I saw it was filmed in Georgia. Maybe just the setting is off or something. But to me, the action doesn't look believable enough. Like. A hick, like, I don't know. Like, do you need to make it look like the Call of Duty 1 and 2 campaigns? Maybe. Like, it needs to be a little more believable for me to take it more seriously.
I
It doesn't
have
have.
another prediction, and I think that they're going to do the same exact thing that they did in BlacKkKlansman, where at the end of the movie they showed real life footage of Charlottesville. I think at the end of
Oh.
this movie they are going to show real life footage of, can you take a guess of what date on the calendar I'm going to reference? I know you probably. Probably. I'm sure they have something cooking up their sleeve in regards to the bold white text on black background and how this affects the quote unquote sovereignty of our nation and how we need to do better, to our fellow man. I'm sure.
It's not going to achieve anything that Children of Men did not
But
achieve
there you
in
go.
that
It's not
time.
going to achieve any of that
That's a great movie, by
because
the way.
You can't bank on human sentiment suddenly fixing themselves just because a piece of media, ideally showcases the worst of humanity and would think that they would learn from it, a la satire, but it's not a satirical film. This is a film
Although,
that's,
I don't know if I see this movie necessarily. I'll put it to you this way. I don't see it necessarily saying, I can't see Nick Offerman as president being like, I don't know. I've never
No.
really done a Nick Offerman impression. I've
No.
never. It's hard to imagine him being like, nothing's been the same since January 6th, or he'll say something like, oh,
Yeah.
nothing's been the same since November 5th, 2024, because that's where there's a gap between what we know about this movie and BlacKkKlansman, where Spike Lee was literally like getting a Harley Quinn type ham mallet and just whacking you on the head with it to have, you know, Topher Grace do his Eric Foreman in a Klansman outfit saying, oh man, it'd just be great if America was, you know, if it was just, you know, great again. And then by the end of the movie, showing you the Charlottesville footage. Yeah, I know. I honestly remember reviewing that movie for Touchdowns and Tangents. And Kenny went to the bathroom at like the literal climax of the movie. It was like going to the bathroom right when Vader says, "No, I'm your father." That's how dumb of a bathroom break that was. Sorry, Kenny, but we're still roasting you for it. You know, with this movie, like, I don't know. I think it's going to be very removed in a way that Black Klansman wasn't. You know, it's going to be not on the nose. And who knows, maybe it will be very much like, you know, oh, this guy voted for the wrong person, but he's still a good guy, even though he wanted to take your rights away. And it's like, okay, that's not really a moving, I don't know, a moving thing in your film to get people to really be motivated to see it, especially if they're, you know, they're critics of the right-wing movement in this country. But to go back to the headlines of some of these reviews very fast, Variety, Civil War review, Alex Garland tears America apart, counting on divided audiences to prevent his worst-case horror show. Hollywood Reporter, Civil War review, Alex Garland's dystopian thriller starring Kirsten Dunst stimulates the intellect, if not the emotions. The Wrap, Civil War review, Kirsten Dunst is outstanding in Alex Garland's fraught and fascinating epic. The Guardian gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Civil War review, Alex Garland's immersive yet dispassionate war film. Deadline, Alex Garland's journey through war's desolation loses its way. And then finally, IndieWire, Alex Garland's grim and nauseatingly violent nightmare imagines what's next for America. So, you know, I think if anything, there is the tepid political nature to it, which, again, it goes back to the great point that Matt brought up early on, which is, yes, this is one of those weird times in America where, you know, you do have the people that you wish everybody could have everything. You wish it was fair and equal for everyone. But then you have those of us that, because they've lost out, they don't have the luck and luxury of many other people, they decide to start blaming people based on race, religion, gender, age, sexual orientation, you name it. And so they decide to put themselves behind a demagogue, and they think that that person's going to be the savior to all their problems. And in the end, it turns into a banality of evil situation where they may have been a good person, but they still went along with something utterly horrible. And I'm not trying to be funny a la at our Exorcist 2 review of utterly horrible. Like, they're genuinely following people that are utterly horrible. But at the same time, and this is where I feel like we're in this strange period where it's almost, and I when I say almost, I mean it's still two different planets. But it's almost like because of I almost said Westerns, which is going to give away what I'm about to say. Because of superhero movies, we're in this weird world where everything is so fanatical and over the top. And as much as people want an escape from reality with their movies, they also want something that is still going to be fantastical in a way that is at least engaging and believable and not covered in the patina of whatever CGI IP we're about to be drowned in. And by no means am I comparing this movie to Full Metal Jacket, but think of it this way. After the Vietnam War, seeing a Vietnam War movie that addresses the war in very frank terms, and it's done artistically, and it makes it clear, like, you're going to see horrible displays of humanity in this, but you're still going to see good performances nonetheless and a good movie. You know, that's something that I think this movie is aspiring to be. I can guarantee you I'm probably going to walk out of the theater with Andrew and be like, you can skip this one. But, ultimately, it's fine if you have something that imitates reality. It is kind of cash grabby in the sense that, oh, of course, we're in the most important election of our lifetime, and here's a Civil War movie about America and another Civil War. But, it doesn't need the trappings of what's going on in America today. You can have an American Civil War movie and just have it be an utter fantasy. You could have it be a sci-fi movie if you wanted to. Arguably, that's what this is. It's speculative fiction at the end of the day. It's showing you something. Hell, it's showing you something that could be in the future. Hopefully not, but I don't know if it's just taken us to fantasy land and all the intellectuals out there that are trying to make us feel like we're on the verge of another civil war. Well, as I've said before, I don't think so, because have you seen Americans now? I don't think so. So, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. So,
I never
Andrew,
had
I don't know
this
if you have
fear with.
any. Oh, go
No,
ahead.
I was just thinking of like other like. Okay, Civil War doesn't hit. What's the last movie I felt that felt realistic or like actually scared me of like could happen here? And I actually just looked up a list of dystopian films because I'm like I really nothing calls to mind. Children of Men's great, but I'm like, what else has been like hard hitting? Like growing up, there was not The Purge.
San
Like maybe for
Andreas.
5 seconds. Yeah, that might be the most realistic. But it's not like I saw 2012 and I was just like, oh
Oh my
shit.
God.
No
Get
movie
out.
for me, like Planet of the Apes, the old one, please. Like, I don't know, like no movie for me has ever like scared me into thinking that it could happen here that wasn't based on something already historical. And the fact that this movie just looks like it's gonna have a lightweight punch. Who's commenting? Like, I don't mean to be like that kind of YouTuber, but I'm just like, so just a bunch of libs commenting, but like seriously, like Trumpers are probably just going to be like, nothing to see here. And they might be more right than the liberals who are just like a warning, especially too. Like, this guy, I don't
People
know if
say
any of you
that about
guys,
Joker. Like,
that there's going to be an incel rebellion
yeah,
or.
like,
Like,
hey,
hey, there was.
like single white guys don't go see this movie or be on the lookout or something along those
Yeah.
lines. Like, if someone looks like they just came from their basement and they're part of the trench coat mafia, maybe don't give them a ticket of admission.
Yeah, there was a movie theater shooting over what's his name? Bale Batman, so it's really unpredictable, but I don't really think I kind of agree with I r really with Matt's point at the end of the day. And I think the fact that okay, good actors, but the fact that the action looks like it's gonna be less impressive than 2003 Call of Duty, it's not really it's not going to hit home. It's not going to be scary enough. Like I think the trailer, that's the whole thing too, where it's like, does the trailer show you the best parts of the movie where it says like, what kind of American are you? That might be the climax of the movie for all we know. It's like the whole thing about giving the best parts of the way of the trailer. Like they blew up the Lincoln Memorial. What stakes are there left? You showed soldiers walking into the Oval Office. Like to me, it's like, it's not going to hit hard enough, but
If
again,
anything, I feel like they spoiled it. Like they spoiled all the
yeah.
good scenes, right? Yeah. So why bother? If it's just going to be detriment and destruction, like again, I can only say this off of like the 2, 3 minutes that I watched. I'm not expecting a happy ending. And maybe that's a good thing. If I don't have a happy ending, it'll be more thought-provoking.
The happy ending's when we walk out of the theater and get our money back.
If witnessing high school, collegiate, and even graduate level theater has taught me anything, it's the fact that most, if not all, good performances end on a down note because it's supposed to be more provocative than, all the loose ends get tied up and a deus ex machina falls from the sky. Because that's not what happens in life. I guess my fear is that the ending, while provocative, is not going to fix human error and human sentiment, thinking that acting like a dipshit is okay and forward thinking for our country. I'm not even going to mention the word progressive, even though that would probably apply in the dictionary definition sense, for fear of political libel. I don't know.
Well, I think too, and then I do want to go back to Drew because I'm curious some more of your thoughts on this before we move on to the Heart Hawks. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, we've had so many times since the American Civil War where we thought, you know, oh, we're on the verge of another one. We're on the verge of another one. I mean, we thought of it 100 years after the first Civil War, you know, during the Vietnam era that we were going to have another one. And I don't know. I mean, even at that point in time, like, you look at all the people that bandied back from voting for Johnson, then probably voting for JFK, sorry, RFK, and then also while all this is happening, being stimulated by the Barry Goldwater movement, and then finally all you've got left is voting for me because I'm the only hope you've got. And you're thinking to yourself, like, how does a country divide in any meaningful way when it's so, you know, like it's so, there's so much whiplash between who they want to be president. So, and then fast forward, you know, 5 decades later, I guess 6 decades later, and it's the same deal. You know, like how does a country that votes for Obama, then votes for Trump, then votes for Biden, then votes for, like, it's the same kind of baffling confusion. And in a lot of ways, I mean, you're talking about a very different country when we're talking about 1860. Whereas now, you know, everything is so institutionalized that a genuine breakup would be so dismantling and so, you know, I don't even, I honestly forgot if this is a word, fracturous, that, like, you know, it would just completely destabilize the country and the economy in a way that we wouldn't be prepared for. That, you know, that's where a movie like this can thrive, because it's like, yeah, of course they still have like an army to do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, people still live in their lives normally. That, I mean, that scene in the theatrical trailer of the lady who's behind the NPC, the GTA NPC, like her. That's something straight out of like some like movie about the American Civil War, where it's like, you know, banjos playing, there's some blue coats walking into a parlor somewhere, and the lady's like, you know, I do declare I've been staying away from this war for so long, it's so bad over here down in Mississippi, you know. And like, to the idea that you could just fast forward that and make that lady somebody with an iPhone. There's no way your store is running, you know, unless it's that localized and your town is that untouched. But, you know, it's, I think it's giving fantasy, and to the people that think their lives are a fantasy, those are the people you got to worry about. But I don't think they're going to take this movie as gospel and be like, you know, they're gonna go full Alex Jones, and even he's, don't get me started. But I don't know. I mean, Drew, what else attracts you to this movie? Because I know it kind of surprised me when you were like, "Ooh," when we saw the trailer for it for Dune.
I mean, I do well in IMAX too. You know, even like, I'll say it again, Battle Los Angeles would look pretty badass in IMAX, I'm assuming. So, like, I think the IMAX factor made it's like give summer flick vibes. So, I think I will be entertained for as much as shitting on it. If they say there's good performances, like maybe I just should just judge it on a movie, you know, more so than the message or the anti-message that the director is doing to hype up his thing. But you know, I quite looking and thinking about it, you know, after hearing Matt's talk, I think I agree. I think I'll be entertained, but I don't think I'll think about it 5 minutes, you know, maybe a week after or something, but it's not I don't want to judge it too much. I feel like it just doesn't seem like it's gonna hit hard enough. Like I just can't remember the last time a dystopian movie made me feel like something was gonna be real. And this seems like this guy has the biggest opportunity in a long time with the Trump hype, with the Trump history, with January 6th to like make the impactful movie. And that's a big ask. But like, I was just thinking, like, what's another dystopian movie that's coming out at this time? Megalopolis, I think, is a little different, but I'm just
Oh.
like, what else? Like, I was even looking up, like, dystopian movies, and I'm just like, the last movie that really scared me was Independence Day, and that had huge scales of action, and that had like people we could relate to. I think the journalist angle, I don't know if it's really going to work, because I feel like, there's going to be some
Projecting.
MSNBC watchers who are just like, yeah, that's me. But like, I think for the most part, I just don't know if it's going to hit. So I'm
You
going this time.
gotta see the platform. That's a dystopian movie that still sits with me to this day.
Is that the
It's
one with the
more,
food?
yeah, it's the one with the food, and it's like it's again prescient given the current climate. What is the world gonna look like in terms of pollution, water levels potentially rising, food shortages made available? Like, what's that gonna look like for people? And I mean, this sort of collateralizes it, and I mean, quite well. It is a giant tower with one platform, so it's very easy to digest. Haha. but it's a movie that definitely sticks with you if you're looking for the creep and authenticity factor, but also the greed and the subtext associated with it. So, if you're looking for a movie to not enjoy but learn a lot from, then there you go.
All right. So, since I have disowned Santa Clarita, which, as Sebastian put it, is like leaving the Hotel California, I have no grudges, except for exes who think playing as the Empire in Battlefront is wanting to play as the fascists, to which I
No.
say, no, I want to play as Darth Vader, and I want to not win over you, not win the game. No, I want to destroy you.
Don't make me destroy you.
No grudges, my ass. Like, it's, yes, it is easy to hate on Santa Clarita because it's low-hanging fruit. Oh, you mean a bunch of people trapped in their desert are complaining about issues that they should have zero control over whatsoever, but because they're constituents of a certain area of geographical perimeter, they feel like they're so self-important. Who would have thought that people trapped in a box will somehow create their own self-satisfaction and self-worth? Bravo.
Anyway, to finish my transition, talk about the
Anyway, yeah.
Hawks, guys. Matt, Sebastian, the Hawks. Ha! Ha!
The thing is, we already have something in the Heart District out here that is Hawk. We have the Rio Norte River Hawks. So I don't know
Okay.
why Heart High School went with the Hawks. They could have done it's alliteration.
Well,
It's
okay. Well, yeah. So I'll go into some key points. They were formerly the Heart Indians. Now they are the Heart Hawks. And the goal, and Matt kind of stole my words here. Yeah, they want to align alliteration with other district mascots like the Valencia Vikings and the Canyon Cowboys.
Don't forget the West Ranch Wildcats.
Yes.
As I wave my hands because I am one of them.
The Heart principal, and forgive me for butchering this name, Jason D. Autremont.
Filet mignon? I don't know.
Again, I think it's kind of humorous the fact that we're talking about a Frenchman and we're dealing with Native American things. I don't know. I remember the line from The Indian in the Cupboard the other day where Little Bear was talking with Omri and being like, oh, you're not even in America, you're in England. And Little Bear like perks up being like, oh, we fought with the English against the French. So I'm sure that there's some shred of irony in there. Anyway, Mr. D'Altremont compared the symbol of a hawk as a testament to the heart community values. And of course, they wanted to change it from a quote unquote race-based symbol. Now, we have a couple of parties here. Of course, we have him as the Heart Principal. We have the Heart District Board Member, Linda Storley, who made the comment that mainly to the detractors, particularly one Joe Messina, stating that we need to effectively table this for further discussion because, at the risk of a white guy who you need sunglasses to stare at him, so eloquently stated, because I believe he would emit rays if you put him in the sun, we need to give, and please, please correct me if I'm mispronouncing this, we need to give the Titavium a voice in this. And why did we disregard a majority decision? Of course, the majority decision being to do nothing and not change the mascot. So Miss Storley stated, it wouldn't make sense to return to the discussion, i.e., what Mr. Messina is pushing for after the new mascot unveils. Again, table it until people get impatient or have nothing else better to do. I did have a question, though, regarding the. Again, please correct me. The Fernandinho Tatavium Band of Mission Indians, where
Bernardino,
they
yeah.
stated that. Yeah, where they stated, at least in the article done by The Signal, because that was the only article I could find that really covered this. Specifically, those of Tatavium lineages did not want the Indian mascot removed for fear of history being erased, otherwise known as damnatio memoriae. I think that's Latin.
Hold on, where are you seeing this about the which Signal article is this that you're reading it from? It's not the one I have.
It was the one that was posted in the group chat.
Okay.
And if we can put some, I don't know, some
Oh,
Jeopardy
here we
royalty-free
go.
music. Yeah. So I'm going to
Okay.
go down to the
Nominations for the
paragraph
Warriors were
where.
not accepted due to. Okay.
Well, hold on. Yeah, of course, it's going to link me to Facebook, which is a part B to this topic, because what's a news article without the reactions
The
of
comment
the
section.
constituents?
Oh, Jesus. Well, yeah,
Specifically that.
to briefly recap that, in an email
Yes.
to a community member, D'Attremont said that any nominations asking for no change be made to the mascot were not part of the official tally due to the governing board's decision, and nominations for Warrior were not accepted due to the Fernandinho Tatavium Band of Mission Indians telling the district that its members felt it would not be appropriate.
So I'm reading a handful of community members with Tatavian blood have said at recent governing board meetings that they do not want the Indians mascot to be removed, fearing that their history could be erased. And this is where it goes into board member Joe Messina called last week. Again, awesome guy to endorse this, to push this on the ballot for a renewed discussion of the topic at a future meeting, though three board members would have to agree to have the item be placed on an agenda, according to Storley. He stated that we need to give the Tatavium Indians who were concerned with this a real voice in as a whole. And he just goes on to basically state that, I'm with them all the way, which again, I guess you could, I don't know. The sentiment is there, right? Like if it's coming from someone of the race stating that this is a detriment to our historical lineage, that's one thing. If you have someone like Mr. Messina endorsing it for you, I'm kind of going to assume that you're getting the wrong man for the job. At
Well,
least from anecdotal instances of what you've told me,
yeah,
Ryan.
Messina is not exactly he's not a progressive champion, to quote another activist I'm familiar with in the Santa Clarita Valley. So I've actually mentioned him to colleagues and superiors of mine here in Massachusetts in equating him to a certain blogger in Massachusetts, who Andrew knows all about, who goes by the name of Turtle Boy, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So, by the way, if you guys
So,
want to know what the Turtle Boy statue in Worcester looks like, well, You could always just come here, but I'll probably show it to you and you'll both go, Ryan, why?
I really didn't want to end this on a down note, and thankfully we have the part B to this. You would assume they're changing the mascot. Oh, big deal, right? Well, apparently it is a big deal. And I don't know, maybe we could read some of these 5-star 10-course meal gems that the Santa Clarita community has just so lovingly cooked up for us,
Please.
spoon feeding us with this content. So who wants to go first? Because I haven't pulled up. Please.
Oh, have any choice comments? Because it's just it's a shit show in the comment section from what I've seen.
Am I still on this page?
The first one I've seen is a meme of a pair of fingers holding up a crack pipe with the caption of, "Excuse me, I think you dropped this." I don't know who this man is. He's my hero already. I don't even know what side he's on.
What group are we looking at? I feel
It
like an
just
old
says
person.
Santa Clarita Valley Signals post. So if you just go to the Facebook article that was linked in the chat,
Oh dear.
Ryan,
Well,
go ahead and just hand me your
God.
email, your password. Oh, by the way, the three numbers on the back of your credit card too would work great. Sadly, this is the trend in the nation right now with the pro team's name changes over the years. So sad. W.S. Hart admired the Tuktavian Indians from the area so much. Are we even talking about the same group of people here? Or is it? Okay. He promised to name the school mascot after them, and then some group comes and wants to erase slash change the history of the area. And the Cowboys were the crosstown rivals to the Indians. I sure hope they don't try to change the Cowboys' name as well. I'm looking for like the unhinged. Like you get the proud to be a Hart Indian comments. Like that's just Facebook mom low effort shit. I'm looking for like
I like
bad.
it.
I do like from one notable SCV resident that I actually do have a good deal of respect for, who said, "Wait until you guys hear that they've also changed the prices on the vending machines."
Scourge of our
A
nation.
lot of it is all these really sad middle-aged folks who are realizing that, "Oh no, the world has moved on without me. Oh no, it's changing. Oh no, things are not the same as they were 50 years ago. Oh dear." It's a lot of stupid pearl clutching and things that no longer apply to them. And it's
I can't,
they're
yeah.
scared of being called racist, even though they know they're racist. They just don't want to admit that they're racist.
I can't understand the ideology and just mental state someone has to be. And it doesn't even have to be about, a mascot change. I can't imagine being that guy walking into a supermarket and being like, Pearl Milling? What the fuck? Like, what is it? What is something so small and insignificant like that do to someone's psyche that they actually have to get on their virtual soapbox and proclaim that they care about this so much that other people should too.
I mean,
We have.
John Boston wrote a three call like a three part series on why he was opposed to this name change in the signal, which, had I not been let go because of COVID, I probably would have resigned over, because I can't work for a publication that'll let someone spout that racist drivel in like very proudly.
By the way, like I mentioned my own high school mascot a few moments ago, and that's probably the only time ever that it's going to come up. At least the only other time, at least in the foreseeable future, that I ever see it coming up is when Taylor finally makes me watch High School Musical.
Why?
Because I've been saved. I've saved myself from that pain. And they're the Wildcats in that movie, and I was a Wildcat for 4 years at my high school. But otherwise, I don't think about it. I don't dream about it. it's like a lot of things that are part of my past that I don't look back on because they're not relevant whatsoever to the present. And all these people that are beating their chests over their mascot when they were in high school, and all of these people are probably, I mean, and
They look as though they're into their 40s and 50s. They're
Exactly. And
middle-aged
I know some of them
people.
are probably much younger. I'll give them that. But the fact that the loudest voices in the room are the ones that have kids that are either close to your age, Sebastian, or they're like maybe a little bit over, maybe they're in college already. You know, maybe they just graduated high school. I just look at it like, move on, please. You have better things to do in your life. If I asked what my parents what if I asked my parents what their mascots were, it'd probably take my dad 5 to 10 minutes. My mom, it would be quicker, but you know what? She doesn't live by it. She doesn't walk around, you know, beating her chest like Matthew fucking McConaughey, like it's part of her DNA. You know, it's ancient history. Not
I
calling it
can
ancient, mom.
understand.
It's just from a long, long time ago.
Yeah, and I can understand even giving sports fanatics credits when they rep their shit and they're repping the mascot, of their sports team or even their college. Trojans, I know where they're from. Bruins, I know where they're from. I understand the rivalry. I understand that the subtext is that it's a good school to go to. Right. So why would you not want to rep their shit? You get to like the state school level, and that's not to diminish state schools and what they can offer, but I'm not gonna bring my college mascot, if you want to call it a mascot, which by the way, as someone who is of the culture of my college mascot,
Oh,
you
geez.
don't see me put I'm kidding. I won't go down that rabbit hole, but you don't see me poo-pooing on why it's affecting me in my daily life because that'd be cringe. You'd need to throw me in a psych ward if that's what I'd be thinking about at all hours of the day. But you have people in this chat, middle-aged, you're definitely right, either having kids that go to this school, that go to Hart High School, that are experiencing the change firsthand in their own generation. And sad to say, are probably in the eyes of their parents, are probably being quote unquote brainwashed because of this insignificant change, which I don't know how it's insignificant, given that if it still captures the symbol of what it means to be a Santa Clarita resident and its values, who the fuck cares? My high school mascot was a bulldog that was a recycled PNG image. It's on like 30 fucking schools.
Yeah.
Where was this
If you've
outrage when they
seen.
switched the Chuck E. Cheese mouse to the abomination that it is now?
If you've seen one bulldog mascot, I guarantee you've seen them all, and it was my high school mascot. Okay. Like that is how insignificant it is. And I don't even want to give them the benefit of the doubt of like, oh, they peaked in high school. Okay, like that's a good thing to brag about, number one. But number two, you have one comment that says, believe me, my family has been around this valley for over 70 years. I hate what has happened to the small town we used to have. Fucking move then. There's 49 other states.
There's
There's
also redder parts of
hundreds of
California you can move to if Santa Clarita
there's
is that bad.
There's hundreds of countries you could go to. They're not all socialist hellscapes, guy. Okay? Like they're not. You could very much go to somewhere that is an echo chamber of yourself and be perfectly happy. And what kills me is that they're old enough and are, I don't even know if they're financially responsible to do this, but they have the means to do it, unlike our age demographic. So what's stopping them? And then you have the people, this is where it really gets interesting. You have the people that someone as pasty as me can only really give the sentiment of giving them the benefit of the doubt when they say this, is if they say that they are part XYZ tribe, XYZ indigenous group, and they say, I don't support the change. I wish they would have kept the mascot. I wish they would stop erasing our history. you get you start to distance yourself from the people complaining about Uncle Ben's rice and Aunt Jemima's syrup, claiming that, oh, it's effectively doing the same thing. No, we're dealing with a mascot that is encapsulating a large group of people that is not emblematic of fucking syrup or rice, okay? And geographically speaking, it would make sense to have something be representative of that. We have museums dedicated to that, which I still have to get my tickets for, by the way, and go with Matt. I genuinely don't
I
know what to
emailed
think.
them a long time ago.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
have it.
All right. I genuinely don't know what to feel when I see a comment like that, other than just, I guess if they feel bad about the change, feel sorry that it's erasing their own perspective of history. But, it's hard to feel bad when I'm getting drowned out by pearl clutching, should we say, non-natives who want to speak on behalf of someone else. Like, I find it pretty disingenuous. It just feels like one big circle jerk, which, if that's what Facebook is, so be it. Glad I left.
There's never examples of like, I guess what's the offensive thing that a white team could be called or a white mascot? Like, there's not like the New England Crackers. There's the Boston Patriots, the New England Patriots, but like, there's nothing like that. Like the whatever white people are called in certain areas, like the Chicago Midwesterners. Like, there's nothing like offensive. I'm trying to think, like, maybe it'd be helpful for them if there was something like that, but there isn't. Like, there is no school that's just like, I was actually just reading about it too. I guess people are mad at the teams called the Crusaders. I never thought about that, but Holy Cross, Worcester.
Yeah,
But
nice.
yeah, I think it's kind of, well, okay. But yeah, like, there's no like example. I guess Crusaders, like, we haven't had a controversy over somebody, at least prominent controversy over somebody getting mad over like the team name changing from the Crusaders, which I'm sure would rile up Catholic, what is it, Christians, Catholics,
Yeah.
but I'd be curious, or like Providence Friars. So I haven't seen a high profile religious debate on this, and until it shifts from like the racial debate, white people might not get it.
Well, I have, and this will be my ending contribution to this discussion. I have quite possibly the greatest comment exchange that I found. You may have found a better one, but so far this is what I found. We have two mothers. I know. Strap in. Two mothers, pigmentally challenged, shall we say, going back and forth. The first message, the past, current, and future students will be proud to have gone to such a great school, regardless of the mascot. The Indians and the Hawks will always fight on with a strong heart, spelled HART. Okay. Okay. You know what? Fine. If you want to leave it neutral, if you want to be apolitical, it could have stopped right there and we could have gone on with our lives. But the response. It's people like you that have given us the strength to thank goodness that we homeschool our children. To which someone else, a third party, comments with the clown emoji. And so in the military, we have tabs that go on our what is it, like our shoulders. And you can get like, it's mainly in the army. You can get like ranger tabs, jungle tabs. It's just something that goes across your shoulder. It's a tab that says embroidered, you're not that guy. Funny, you know? To which, and that'd be enough. Instead, he comments below, same person. Oh, I know that. I've already earned my tab, but not this one. My family history goes back further than yours in the SCV, I bet. Some of my aunts and uncles were in some of the earliest HART graduating classes. There is no reasoning with this disgusting woke ideology for the few that has destroyed a history of a legendary high school for the many. Here's your tab, clown. And then he posts it again, as if we didn't already see it the first time. But, seek
I'm sorry,
help,
did the
I
high school
guess.
change when you changed the mascot?
And that's what I'm wondering
Just
too,
makes your
is
merch more limited edition so you can resell it to the other heart masturbators.
we have people graduating from like 75s, like 70s, 80s. Like they would eat that shit up like MAGA merch at a Trump rally, right?
Dear God.
It's insane, and it's like you are living in the past, and you don't need to be living in the past. I'm not even gonna say live in the present, because you're not. But
Like,
you're not doing yourself any favors.
these are people that presumably moved out of their parents' homes, got a job, married, moved into a home, procreated, and after all this time decided, you know what I'm gonna do every day? Bitch and moan about my high school mascot being taken away from me like it's candy from a baby. You know what? There's already been enough little subtle Eagles references this whole episode. I got last one to say for these people, and I do have three final comments after that, and the third one is technically not a comment, it's a question to Matt. But very simply to those people, two words from the, I almost said late, but it's he's not dead yet. From Don Henley, two words. Screw that. It's three words. It's been a long day, long week. Get over it. Now, point number one that I'll quickly make, that, caught my eye just in terms of everything going on with this whole. Sorry, Andrew's making me laugh.
I'm still cracking up at these comments. I love the guy who posted the gif of like, oh shit, the comment started with the fat guy getting a seat.
Yeah.
Like,
Best reaction image.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just dumb things that made me laugh. And last note, but like, I also like the person who's like, let's change it to tomahawks. Let's offend both sides.
I saw that one. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Well, so
Endless comments. Yeah.
even on that point with but before I get to the other thing I was going to say that does kind of cap off what I have to say about it. On the point of mascots, I know this was an argument I was making with Steven, when the Proclaimer was being ran over the mascot, which is, look, this high school is named after a Western actor. Regardless if there's already any, that's just it. Okay, there might be another cowboy mascot out there. Well, guess what? You're named after a cowboy. Your high school is named after a freaking cowboy. Yeah, he might have played one in a bunch of silent films, but he pretended like he lived the life, and he's got a whole park and a mansion that you can basically see that life. The way I see it, it should have just transitioned to cowboys and leave it at that. I'm at a point where I don't care if, oh, cowboys, it's offensive still. You know what? William S. Hart, the guy that we're trying to emulate here, wasn't living in, a progress. Well, he was living in a progressive era, but different kind of progressive politics than today. So, yeah, call it the Hart Cowboys. I don't care. Call it the Hart Hawks. You know what? Fine. I don't live there. I didn't go to school there. Have fun with it. And the last point I'll make is that Linda Storley, who I've actually had the chance to interview and talk to in person, I actually had a coworker who had a crush on her. It was kind of funny. She even commented
She
on the signal.
she's like 60. At least she looks like she's that old.
I
No?
forget how old she is.
Okay.
And mind you, the last time I talked to her was, what year is it? Like, it was a long time ago. Like, it's somehow been that long. I'm actually looking at an old photo of her that she posted 7 years ago, but believe you me, that photo ain't from 7 years ago. It looks more like it's from 47 years ago. Anyway, she commented, and for background, she's also a Hart School District board member, but she also commented on the Signal post and simply said, "Please stop. This is done. We spent 1 year debating this, worrying over this, praying over this. Please focus on something concerning education. Now, I don't care if there's anything politically tinged with that comment. The way I see it, the sentiment alone should be enough to tell people to basically listen to Ferris Bueller and just go home at the end of the day and move on with their lives. And then finally, to you, Matt, to kind of close us out, you know, I know you've been busy, but, like, have you seen anything else on the ground in terms of how people have been responding to this? Have you talked with anybody that you know that has had any kind of stake in this game, or...
No one gives a shit.
I mean, that was going to be my next question. Do people even care?
No.
Besides
it's just
pets.
The pearl clutchers. It's those idiot pearl clutchers who are scared that, oh, no. I honestly think it just goes down to the deep inherent... Well, fuck, I don't want to be considered racist. No, I'm not racist. It's the liberals who are racist. Rah, keep the Indian. Rah. That's what I'm convinced it is. It's that they don't want to be seen as the bad guys, so they just don't want it to change. Because if things change, that means that values have shifted. If values have shifted, it means that they could be possibly the bad guys. If that's the bad guys, that means that, oh, God, maybe I'm not... Maybe I'm going to hell. Oh, God, no, I'm a Jesus-loving, Bible-thumping bullshitter. I can't go to hell, so therefore I'm not racist. It's no one cares except people who shouldn't care. It's like if I went back to my old house right now, walked inside and said, I don't like where you put that tapestry. I'm tearing it down and putting up an old tapestry, even though I don't have an old tapestry. But I'll just pretend I have a tapestry so I can put one up and just... self-righteously, yeah, or like you put the couch in the wrong spot in the house. It goes here, it's always gone here, it's never gonna be anywhere else but here. It's the same thing. Like, you're gone, things change, who gives a shit?
Am I in the wrong to ask how it's so hard for people to change regarding like little nuances like this? Because I feel like as much as people our parents' age who, let's be serious, are the age ranges that are commenting on posts like this, they want to seem like they are connected with the outside world, and they think that they are through like the means of Facebook, right? Yeah, I'd go so far as to say that our parents grew up in the generations that they did and were taught the things that they were taught. And for lack of a better word, maybe they weren't taught all the right things as history has evolved and changed. But is it really that hard for someone to look at what's around them and realize that, and have enough self-awareness to realize that they themselves are ostracizing themselves when they speak to a different group of people different from their echo chamber on Facebook? Like, they can't be the same person in two different social groups. Because at least one of those social groups is going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's so backwards. Like, we won't talk, like, we wouldn't talk that way. You know, and I understand that, like, you know, a good part of being human is, like, being able to fucking code switch and turn it off and not be the same person, to two different people, which you want to talk to me about authenticity, especially in the workplace and in the arts. Well, that's a separate episode, but... I feel like it's simpler than people make it out to be. Like, I feel like the more facts you have, the easier it is to change your mind and realize that, oh, I can easily admit that I was in the wrong, and here I am attempting to change it, thereby making me a better, more understanding person. Why wouldn't more people take that route if it meant that they could connect to a broader demographic? Because at the end of the day,
they don't want to connect to a broader demographic.
Well, right, but at the same time, that's not longevity. That's alienation. They're going to be alienating
aliens. No, aliens go south of the border.
I'm done. I rest my case.
Sounds about white.
I don't know. I guess I'm just really hoping for people to change. And it's like, to me, I feel like it's so easy to do once you understand that you're not the smartest person in the room And for good reason. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. That being said, reason number 50,000 as to why I'm not on Facebook is I get to avoid shit like this, unless we're making fun of it. So.
This is the point in the episode where we have something quippy to say when we wrap things up.
Go, go, Wildcats. I'm sure that'll be offensive in 5 years.
So is this where the quiet on the set conversation starts?
Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erbrick. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.